Hey guys, and welcome to the second episode of the Soto Mojo podcast. We're going to cover starting pitching today, and we have a special guest on the show, Mr. TJ Moulton, who's a big Seattle Mariners fan, also graduated of Eastern Washington University, go Eagles, and he jumped on to talk about starting pitching, and I'll play that interview in a minute. Just wanted to reiterate a few housekeeping things for the website. We're still looking for writers and a site expert. So if you're interested in writing about the Mariners, please reach out to FanSided. Go to thefansided.com/openings and apply there. It's a lot of fun. You know, you meet some really good people and you get to write about the Mariners. Also, this is going to be, we'll call this part one of a two-part starting pitching discussion to see what happened in 2017 and what the Mariners should do moving forward. Part two will be with site contributor Dan Clark, who will, that show will be released on Thursday of this upcoming week, Wednesday night or Thursday morning, I should say. We're still working out the details there. But this was part one of an interview with TJ Moulton about the starting pitching for the Seattle Mariners. I hope you enjoy. And as always, if you guys want to hop on the podcast, we are always willing to welcome Mariner fans who want to talk about baseball. So just reach out to us. You can reach me on Twitter at cpat11, C-P-A-T-1-1, or Dan Clark. You can find him on Twitter or reach out to the Facebook page or Twitter account for sotomojo.com. So with that being said, here is the interview with TJ Moulton about the starting pitching. Joining us on the Soto Mojo podcast, off-season podcast, episode number two, we have TJ Moulton. TJ, say hello to the people.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, thanks for joining us, TJ. Our task today is we have to talk about the starting rotation, so yay. Hey. Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Mariners starting rotation today. We have a few topics of discussion. We'll just dive right in. We don't want to keep you guys too long. So let's go ahead and jump right into our first topic, which is the recent press conference of Jerry Dipoto at the end of the season with the Seattle media. TJ, did you get a chance to read that or listen to that?
I did, yeah. Some interesting takeaways, particularly with the starting pitching. Maybe not in a good way. To me, it kind of sounded like Dipoto is maybe a little too content with where the starting pitching is at right now. I don't know if you got that same impression, but that was a little unsettling to me.
Yeah, it definitely didn't sound like he was all that interested in playing the free agency game. That's kind of the vibe I got from it. You just look at some of his comments. The one that kind of jumped out to me is that here's a quote from the press conference. It says Dipoto says, quote, "We are not going to plan on innings from starting pitching than we have counted on before. That's just not how the game works. There were 15 200 inning pitchers this year. We didn't have a single qualifier for the ERA title. That's the way the game is gone. We are going to plan. We're going to plan as a result of that in a little different way than we have been before." It goes on to talk about Wolfpack mentality, but it certainly doesn't sound to me like they're gearing up to go add, you know, Jake Arrieta or go trade for an ace. So what does that tell you when he's sitting here kind of saying that, you know, the Mariners, we're not going to be looking for 200 inning guys anymore? What does that say to you?
I mean, in an ideal world, you want that. But I do think he's right that there has to be a market for that. And on one hand, you want him to kind of build through the draft and build depth, which I think he's done a pretty good job of. On the other, you're looking at it like, hey, our core is aging, and this might be our last real run at it. So I get it from both ends. Selfishly, I want them to go get a guy like Arrieta or Lance Lynn or maybe a Yu Darvish just for maybe the fun factor. But, I mean, it's kind of undeniable that that would make them a better team. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but they used a ridiculous amount of starting pitchers last year. A lot
17.
of that was on health. Yeah, 17 starting pitchers. A lot of that's on health. A
Right.
lot of that's just on not having a lot of good pitchers. So I don't know. It's a little disheartening to me that he would say that in that tone. And who knows? Maybe that's not his plan at all. We don't really know until the off season gets here. But and we all know that DePoto prefers the trade route through free agency thus far. So I'm still pretty optimistic about him bringing in at least some major league talent for the rotation. He just has to. There's really no other way around it.
Right. It's tough to disagree with all that. We know DePoto likes to go the trade route, but we also know that the farm system is pretty tapped out.
Right,
So,
yeah, it's what do you even trade at this point, really?
right. I don't think you're looking to trade, Kyle Lewis or probably not Evan White and Sam Carlson. Maybe Nick Neidert, maybe, but
Yeah,
probably not.
maybe.
I mean, so yeah, it's a little bit of a tough needle for him to thread. Needle for him to thread there. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. I'm wondering if maybe we're going to see a little bit more of what the Saber Circle calls bullpenning, where you have your two or
Right.
three guys that go six innings, and then the last two spots in your rotation, you're kind of going, let's see if we can get through the order one and a half times with these guys.
Well,
And
and that's kind of how it was used at the end of the year, when guys like Marco Gonzalez, Bea Starr, or Andrew Moor at times, when Emilio Pagan, you're hoping to get three or four out of the starter, and then you're trying to get three out of Pagan, and then it's the heart of your bullpen. So I think we saw a little bit of that last year, and there was some success doing it. I don't know if it's sustainable for an entire season, though, is the problem with that.
I think to be sustainable for an entire season, you really need maybe not an elite bullpen, but you need a very, very good bullpen with seven quality arms, not, five quality arms and two Casey Lawrence types. You know what I'm saying? So,
Right.
yeah, I thought
And
that was.
I don't think Seattle has that. I think they have a couple of interesting arms. I mean, if you're counting on another season like that out of Nick Vincent, sorry, but you're probably going to be pretty disappointed. Not that he can't be good, but that's
No.
about as good as he gets. Dan Altavilla took a really big step back this year. As great as Edwin Diaz can be, he can be equally as erratic. So I don't know. I don't really see them right now as having a bullpen that can do that.
Right. We'll talk about the bullpen. Maybe not you and I, but the podcast will talk about the bullpen, I believe, next week's episode. So that'll be an interesting one. Let's jump back into the rotation real fast here, specifically with DePoto's comments about Felix Hernandez. If you didn't hear them, I'll read a little bit here. It says, quote, "I don't know how we are going to get him through 33 starts without managing it a little differently than we have previously, whether that is starting less frequently, whether that is monitoring pitch counts in a different way than we have before, whether it's part of the off-season training, preparation, and in-season routines. We will do whatever we have to do to make sure he is at his best in the best position he can be." He goes on to say, "I don't know if he can try and stay healthier." Yes, he can. Once you have these issues, it's a matter of maintenance. The issue that Felix has endured are happening under his skin, aren't they all? And you can't work hard and make a ligament stronger. I don't think that's true. You can't lose weight and create more stability in an elbow joint. That's not real," end quote. I mean, aside from the questionable medical connotations of these comments, I mean, that doesn't exactly paint a very pretty picture of where the Mariners see Felix Hernandez. So, where do you see Felix Hernandez in 2018 and beyond?
About in the same boat. I mean, I think I'm about as critical on Felix as any Mariners fan I know or follow on Twitter or anything, but you can't count on him. I mean, even when he is healthy, he's like a four, and not even a four you're really thrilled about. I just don't know. I don't know what to say about Felix. It's frustrating because, I mean, he gave everything to the team for years, and he's one of the best pitchers in baseball for a
8 years,
decade,
yeah.
more or less. Yeah, and it's frustrating to see it happen. Equally as frustrating is that, you know, he's only like 30, I believe.
I think he turns 32 in like April,
32?
So...
Okay,
he's
I
not,
mean,
yeah.
He's not old. I mean, I get that he's had a lot of innings on his arm, but he needs to find a way to reinvent himself, or I don't know what else to say. He's a borderline 4 or 5 in my book. Should probably be in the bullpen. I don't know. It's ugly when it comes to Felix, which is really sad to say, but I don't really know if there's any other way I can put it.
Yeah, it's difficult with Felix. He's kind of, I mean, his number will be retired at Safeco Field one day. There's really no doubt about that. He's arguably the best pitcher in Mariners history. He's right up there with Randy Johnson. So, I mean, it's really tough to – but at the same time, you know, two of the last 4 years, you could make a pretty compelling argument that Felix Hernandez is one of, if not the biggest reason, the Mariners couldn't get into the playoffs. He hasn't stayed healthy, and when he was healthy, he wasn't that good. I have an interesting note here. We'll move off of Felix in a second, but this note right here says that James Paxton and Felix Hernandez missed a combined 147 games in 2017. Obviously, they're not starting all those games, but that's about what? Probably 30 starts, give or take. And those are 30 starts that had to be taken by Andrew Moore, no offense. You know, Ariel Miranda, it didn't work out that well. So let's jump off of Felix real fast and let's take a look at I'm going to ask you to do something that is not fair. I'm going to ask you to name right now the opening day starting five for the Seattle Mariners using only the players that are currently in the organization. So who's your one
boy,
through five?
You're killing me. man, that is tough. I mean, you start with Paxton, obviously.
Yep.
Players in the organization right now, I feel like Mike Leake is your two, is he not?
Sadly. I think
I feel like he has to be. And I like Mike Leake. I really like Mike Leake as a four. He's a good number three. He's a great four.
Mm-hmm.
But he's probably your two. From what I saw last year, man, I mean, Felix will be there too, but as far as I'm concerned, Leake is your two. Albers might be your three.
Oof. Ouch.
And then Felix and Erasmo, I feel like, are your 4 or 5, and then you have Andrew Moore. I would probably put Andrew Moore and Marco Gonzalez off that list. I want Ariel Miranda as far off the list as humanly possible. But I think that would be my five, which I'm not particularly thrilled about. A lot of interesting guys, but the depth is fine. But one ace, hell, even a Lance Lynn type really makes that look a lot better.
It really does. So we're going to do a little bit of rapid fire here. I'm going to throw a few questions at you, and then we'll do a quick brief little look at potential targets in free agency and possibly trade, and I'll throw a few names at you. You let me know what you think. Sound good?
Okay, let's do it.
All right, so let's go here with question number one. Who was the most surprising starting pitcher for the Mariners this year?
In a good way or a bad way?
Take it either way you want it. I will say, though,
most
the next
surprising?
The next question
Go
is
ahead.
Most disappointing. So, I mean,
okay.
If it's the same for both, you might as well give me a positive one.
Right. I would say, you know, I was pretty hard on him when we reacquired him, but I'll go with Erasmo Ramirez. I really liked what I saw from him. I think he gives you pretty good roster flexibility, being able to come out of the bullpen. He was probably our second best starter in the second half of the season. I'll go with Erasmo barely over Albers. I really liked what I saw from Albers too, but I was not an Erasmo guy. But he's really kept us in the race as long as he could in the second half.
Before we move off of Erasmo real fast, there's some thought that maybe the Mariners might not offer him arbitration. He's going to make about $5 million this year. My stance on that has always been that seems awfully cheap.
Yeah,
It does.
you have to do that.
Yeah, it seems like there's a fine line between being frugal and cheap. Now, the $5 million goes and pays for Lorenzo Cain. I mean, okay, but still, it just seems cheap to me. So you're in favor of bringing Erasmo back next year to at least be part of the bullpen?
100%. And I think he showed last year that he can be a rotation guy too. I mean, you don't want him to be your second best starter.
No.
But I think if he's your five, kind of a long man in the bullpen, I think that's pretty good value for $5 million. I mean, that's pennies in baseball contracts.
I would agree. All right, question number two, the most disappointing pitcher, starting pitcher in 2017 was? Yeah, take your time, lots to choose from.
Yeah, you know, probably, I think it has to be Felix. It's
right.
Pretty disappointing. His last couple of seasons, not just the results, but kind of, I don't know, just the way he's failed to take care of his body. And I get that some injuries you can't help, but there are certainly others that you can. I would say Felix. I think it has to be Felix. I think there were other disappointments, but I think that it really just has to be Felix.
I mean, just the salary alone, you need more than that.
Right.
Right. I mean, you could really take a pick, but for me, personally, it's Drew Smyly. I was a big Drew Smyly fan, and you never even got to see him throw a pitch. So, I mean,
yeah,
that was disappointing. But, I mean, Felix is kind of it's the obvious answer, and almost it has to be the answer, just based on what you're
right.
paying him and what you expect from him. So, one
yeah.
last rapid-fire question here. Give me the young starting pitcher that you feel best about, and we're not talking about James Paxton, so take him off the list. Which one of the young guys?
Okay.
Which one of the young guys are you most intrigued by?
Are we talking guys that made starts last year, or prospects, or
anybody who doesn't have more than anybody who's not arbitration eligible, basically? So anybody with less than
okay.
3 years in the big leagues is fine.
Okay. He's not young. His playing career is young, but I think I'll go Albers. I like him the most out of that. Kind of Marco Gonzalez,
mm-hmm.
Andrew Moore group. I really like, I think he's just, his pitchability really stood out to me. Really seems like he has just a knack. He just knows how to pitch. Okay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's not going to be a guy that can get you past maybe past the six. You're kind of hoping for five innings out of him, but I really like what I saw from Albers.
Yeah, tough not to. The fastball, changeup, curveball are all at least average, and he throws lots of strikes. So,
right, yeah.
At the very least, he's going to be very good AAA depth for you.
Right.
You know, maybe a bullpen guy. But so that'll wrap up the rapid fire here. So let's just talk briefly about a few of the guys in free agency, and maybe via trade that the Mariners might have interest in. I'm going to ask you, what is your like ideal offseason for to address the starting pitching? Do the Mariners need to go out and get a number two, or would you be okay if they got a couple fours? Like, what's the overall goal to address the starting pitching this offseason?
Right, and it helps this year with the new draft pick rules where they won't lose a first round pick. If they sign a player that's tendered, that helps. I think any team that can win the Ohtani sweepstakes is off to a pretty dang good start.
Right.
Just because he's not proven, obviously, but you got to think just stuff alone, he's he's at least a middle of the rotation guy. And you're not paying him like it. You're paying him for pennies on the dollar, which kind of frees you up to do some other stuff. But Ohtani's kind of the big one for me. A lot of it's just the unknown. What he could be an ace, we don't know. But Ohtani's the big target for me. If they just get him, that would be a successful offseason in my book, as far as the starting pitching goes. Obviously, there are other holes on the roster, but outside of that, I think personally, I would rather go after a Lance Lynn guy, who's kind of a really good three, like probably a solid two. I'd rather go after him for a moderate amount of money than go all in after like a Yu Darvish, or an Arrieta. I think Lance Lynn's probably the guy I like there. And then there's some mid-tier guys. I know we've talked about like a Tyler Chatwood before. I think that would be an interesting pick, assuming it's relatively cheap. Getting him out of Colorado and into Safeco. You would think that would help just right off the bat. But that's kind of how I view it.
All right, that's interesting. So I think Arrieta is probably just a no. I don't think that's going to happen at all. I don't know that Yu Darvish is going to happen. I would certainly sniff around. I think I'm of the opinion that the Mariners need an impact arm this winter, and that could be Shohei Ohtani. I mean, he could be that guy, and if you get him, great. It probably frees you up to add a number five guy, or like maybe getting Ohtani for so cheap, and you can go ahead and you can sign Varsho. Just kind
Right,
of,
right.
I mean, it'd be nice to get a lefty to kind of even out the rotation a little bit, but that's not a big priority. So I was looking the other night at some potential pitchers who could be on the trade block, maybe keeping in mind, of course, the Mariners' limited resources to sign or to trade for these guys. Is there, I guess the guy I came up with is Jason Hammel. He was the guy that the Mariners pursued last offseason. He was pretty mediocre this year, but overall has been okay. $9 million left on the. Is a guy like Jason Hammel, if the Mariners were to trade, it wouldn't cost all that much. If the Mariners traded, Tyler Marlett for Jason Hammel, is that something that you think would help, or do you think that's just more or less, Matt
I
or
just, yeah, see, I don't know if that moves the needle at
right.
all. And I mean, not that Jason Hammel can't be effective. He's had a couple of really nice years. If memory serves, he started pretty slow this last season and pitched well towards the end. But I just don't see moves like that moving the needle at all. It's hard to get excited about those. But at the same time, I think if this year showed us anything, it's that you cannot have enough pitching depth. But personally, I would rather pay more for kind of a high impact guy. I get that if they are going to do that, it's likely going to have to be through free agency, unless they are open to trading Kyle Lewis, which is whole other discussion. But I don't know. To answer your question, I would rather see some big moves that maybe a little bit more risk, but move the needle one way or the other a little bit more. I just hate being in no man's land.
Which is where the Mariners have been for about 10 years. So,
Right. It's infuriating.
yeah, it really is. Just get you out of here real quick here. So you'd say Shohei Ohtani is your number one. Lance, did you say Lance Lynn is like your number two target? Is
Yeah, I
that?
think so. I mean, you never really know until you see the money, but assuming that he
Right.
would cost pretty considerably less than the Yu Darvish or Jake Arrieta, I think I really like what Lance Lynn could bring.
And so get you out of here on this. There are a few guys, the Mariners, starting pitchers that the Mariners are almost certainly not going to either pick up their option or tender them a contract. That, of course, being Drew Smyly, Hisashi Iwakuma, and Yovani Gallardo. Would you be interested in bringing any of those guys back on a smaller deal than what they would get now if the options were picked up?
Iwakuma would be the guy that stands out to me. It didn't sound like his shoulder was anything crazy. I think he had just had arthroscopic surgery and it wasn't a repair or anything like that. I'm no medical expert, but...
That's okay. Neither is Jerry DePoto.
Yeah, it's kind of a minor league deal. The interesting one there would be with Drew Smyly, with the knowledge that he's likely going to miss this entire season, but you can backload it or make the incentives pretty high for the 2019 season. It would be interesting to see what a contract with him could potentially look like.
Right. I think if they tendered him a contract, he would get about $5 million, and that would – you'd have to pay him $5 million and hope that he came back by August, which,
right.
You know, not likely. So I think for me, if I can get Smyly on like $1 million, like a two-year extension, if I can get him for $1 million in 2018, and whatever I get is whatever I get, and then in 2019 I can get it for $10 million or whatever, I think that's something that
yeah.
I'm interested in.
I agree.
As for Iwakuma, if it's only going to – you might be able to get the guy back on a minor league deal.
Right.
I can't imagine he's going to have too big of a market. He's probably not even going to be available till May, give or take, by the time he builds up the strength. So a minor league deal or even like $1 or $2 million with a ton of incentives, that intrigues
yeah.
me. So is that something that you would do?
I agree.
Okay.
I think so, depending on what the rest of their offseason looks like. I don't really have any interest and seeing Gallardo throw another pitch ever again.
Gallardo and Miranda.
Yeah, those guys just don't quite do it for me.
All right, so we'll get you out of here. Do you have any parting thoughts or anything?
I'm excited to see Jerry get rolling. It's always crazy. I know he said he doesn't expect as many moves. I'll believe that when I see it. but with him, I mean, there's something that's going to happen. Obviously I want them to win. But more than that, I want to see them move the needle one way or the other. Instead of kind of staying in limbo. I'm not for tanking, but I'm very much for rebuilding. And if they're not going to go all in here, then I'm very much in for a rebuilding year. I think we might be 1 year premature on that. But I'm really interested to see what DePoto does this offseason.
And, you know, if DePoto does something, it's probably going to be early. What was it? In November of his first year here, he made the Brad Miller and Lomo for
right.
Nate Carnes trade. And then last year, the day before Thanksgiving, I think, he made the Gene Segura,
yeah.
Mitch Haniger trade. So DePoto's going to be aggressive early. We'll see what he does, but I'm like you. I just can't wait to see what happens. It's going to be a very interesting offseason, to say the least. So, TJ, I'm going to let you out of here. Thanks for joining us. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Just let me know.
All right. Sounds good.
So that wraps up part one of our starting pitching discussion on episode two of the Soto Mojo podcast. Like I said, join us for part two. It will be me and Soto Mojo site contributor Dan Clark talking about starting pitching, and that will drop on Thursday morning more than likely. Reiterate to what I said at the beginning of the podcast, if you guys ever feel like you want to talk some Mariners baseball, you're more than welcome to join us. You just reach out to me on Twitter, at CPAT11. You can reach us at the SotoMojo.com Facebook page and also the Twitter account. And just let us know. We're also looking, if you want to write, if you want to manage the website, we're also looking for those two positions. And it's a lot of fun. Like I said, you'll meet some interesting people, some fun people, and of course get to talk about the Mariners. What could be better than that? So this is Colby Patnode with SotoMojo.com signing off. I'll see you in another life.